13 to 11, 3BA's Ballarat today. As we say, a very good morning to Australia's number one entertainment reporter, Mr. Peter Ford.
G'day, Brett. Good to be back.
Oh, good to have you back, Peter Ford. And lots to talk about today, including, well, it's only natural that we start here, the Harry and Meghan drama with the Oprah interview. What's the latest?
Gee, it's pretty unavoidable, isn't it? I mean, even people who are not following the royal stuff kind of are curious about what's going on here. It seems such a showdown and such a chess game with who's going to make the next move, all leading up to this interview, which is on Monday, our time. But, yeah, the palace is certainly hitting back and leaking stuff. Now, whether that goes as high as the Queen herself, I don't know. I don't think the Queen's ringing up gossip columnists and putting a hanky over the phone. But she may have instructed other people to do it. And yeah. I don't think the palace themselves are coming out of this particularly well. I mean, you look at the stuff about the bullying, the claims that two people left their jobs because of Meghan's bullying. Well, that seems to be true. No one's denying it. But it's pretty clear the palace covered it up, you know, because they got those two women to sign NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, and so they weren't allowed to talk about it. So they really were desperate to keep it quiet when it suited them. And now because they think they're in this battle, suddenly they're happy for it all to be made public. So I'm not sure anybody's going to really come out of this squeaky clean. But ultimately, I think, you know, the palace, you know, the royal family are the ones who will win. I think she will be dismissed by a lot of people as being, you know, a gold digger and disgruntled and all the rest of it. And then financially, they're fine. I mean, they've got these massive deals with Netflix and Spotify, so they've got no financial problems.
This is going to make a great episode of The Crown one day, I feel.
Well, if only. They've said they're not going to make any more, you know, which is a great shame. But somebody else might do it and dramatise it. It's got all the... It is like a soap opera. And then in amongst all this, you've got poor Prince Philip, who... almost 100 years old and had heart surgery. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You know, scriptwriters on Home and Away couldn't come up with this stuff. So it is quite remarkable.
And Peter, the interview does have a home now?
Yeah, so the Channel 10 networks and their affiliate around Australia will screen that on Monday night at 7:30. It goes for 2 hours. It was originally 90 minutes. I don't think that necessarily is because they've got so much great stuff that they don't want to edit it. It may be more about just we can get more advertising dollar in if we stretch it out to 2 hours.
The cynic in you, but always right. A sad week this week, Peter Ford, with the death of Michael Gudinski, taken too early at just 68.
Yes, it was extraordinary. I broke the story the other morning and I was told by a source that I absolutely trust, but it just seems so unbelievable that I had to get another confirmation, and eventually I did, but because he was such a life force, you know, such a dynamo, and not in any way slowing down. He was, you know, the most significant person in the history of Australian music, certainly in my lifetime, because he had all things going. You know, he was a promoter of concerts, he owned music labels, he managed acts, you know, so he had everything going. Plus, he had fingers in all sorts of other different pies, you know, including Mushroom Pictures, who make TV shows and movies. So he was a lot of things he had going, and you just wonder where the company goes now without him. There doesn't seem to be any great succession plan, even though his son Matt has been increasingly becoming involved with the company or the group of companies. But he's still not, you know, the visionary that Gudinski was. And, you know, you just, those sort of people just don't come along. They have to be born into it.
And Peter, Molly Meldrum has put pen to paper on the great man today.
Yeah, well, all the people I rang the other day, Molly was one of the first, and he was just inconsolable with grief when I rang him, and he couldn't believe it, and I understood that. And then I rang him back an hour or so later, by which time the family had spoken to him, and he didn't want to speak. He didn't want to give any quotes. And of all the many, many people who have spoken, he's sort of been the one absentee. But he's put out a statement today, which is beautifully written. I won't attempt to read it all to you, but he talks about the volatility of their relationship, and that was very volatile. I was there one night when they had a huge fight, and they didn't speak for 4 or 5 years after that. But, yeah, these things, I mean, they were both very, had both both with short fuses and very passionate about things. But anyway, you know, he's heartbroken, needless to say. So try and find the statement. It's beautifully written. And, yeah, we now, of course, have to wonder what's going to happen with the state funeral, what form that's going to take, whether it, in fact, will be a funeral, because Michael, being Jewish, should have, by normal circumstances, already been buried by now. But there's been a coronial inquiry into what happened, because he had a fall several days before his death, and that was in Sydney in a hotel room, and people are concerned that he either wasn't diagnosed properly or was given medication, which has had a very bad reaction. So that's what they're investigating at the moment.
And state funeral still tip for the MCG. Do you know any more about that, Peter?
Well, the Premier said it will be an iconic Melbourne venue. Well, that to me would indicate only one of two places, either the MCG or the Myer Music Bowl. You certainly could fit a lot more people into the MCG. There's no doubt about that. But, of course, it costs a lot to stage these things. And I don't know, although I don't think anybody would doubt that Michael is entitled to a state funeral or a state memorial, if it is just that. At the same time, if the costs explode, people are going to start saying, hang on, should we be picking up the bill for that? And if you're going to start staging a big concert, you know, that's going to cost money, even though the artists will work for free. There are still a lot of costs involved in setting up the staging for something like that.
Finally today, Peter, reports that Eddie Maguire not in a good place?
Well, I've seen a couple of reports this week saying he's in a dark place and he's, you know, not coping and cut himself off from the world. And I think he is licking his wounds. I mean, he actually was recording 5 episodes of Hot Seat yesterday, so it's not like he's hiding in a corner sucking his thumb. But I think he is a bit deflated. And I also suspect, apart from any ego or hurt or whatever, I think he's probably more physically exhausted than he knows possible. You know, for years he's worked this incredibly punishing schedule and working off adrenaline a lot of the time. And I think when you stop doing that, it can take you months to really fully recover. And so I suspect he's still very tired. And, you know, it's only been, 3 weeks or so, but he'll be fine. Don't think for a second you've seen the last of him.
Yeah, Joffa didn't help Collingwood's cause yesterday either, did he?
Oh, isn't that funny? When you get Joffa's tweets become news. That's the way the cycle goes, the news cycle goes now.
On that note, I think we'll leave it there. Australia's number one entertainment reporter, Mr. Peter Ford. Thanks for your time. We'll catch you next week.
Good on you, Brett. Thank you.